wanted to remake the Companions of the Hall. More than anything in all the world, I wanted to know again the level of friendship and trust, honest and deep to the heart and to the soul, that I had known for those years with my dearest friends. The world can never brighten for me until I have found that, and yet I fear that what I once knew was unique, derived of circumstances I cannot replicate. In joining with Entreri and the others, I tried to salve that wound and recreate the joy of my life. But in considering the new band of adventurers, there entails the inevitable comparison, and in that, all that I have accomplished is to rip the scab from the unhealed wound. I find that I am lonelier than ever before. Drizzt Do'Urden. Chapter 22. Cairn for a King. The Year of the Tasked Weasel, 1483 DR, Neverwinter.
"I never knew a dwarf who wouldn't come out for a fest on payday," Jelvis Grinch said to the promising young Neverwinter guard.
"Went out 2 10 days ago," the dwarf answered, "and sure that I'll be going again soon enough. Ye ain't for taking it personal, are ye?"
The aging citizen of Neverwinter smiled warmly.
"Not to any son of Bonnigo Battleaxe," he replied, wearing a wistful look for days long past.
Jelvis Grinch had long ago been the de facto leader of the city, the first citizen, battle-hardened. All of the hardy settlers fighting for the fledgling city in those dangerous days had looked to him for guidance. Now Jelvis had been given a minor position, out of courtesy, it seemed. General Sabina was in charge of all the many sellswords hired on to protect the city, but she allowed Jelvis to handle a few of them, though just a few. It was a gesture of respect and nothing more, Brunner had quickly realized upon coming into Neverwinter, but at least it was something. Humans were so quick to lift up their heroes, and just as quick to toss them aside to make way for new ones.
"Not to any whose family is naming Drizzt Do'Urden as a friend," Jelvis Grinch went on, nodding.
"Aye, me da spoke of that one often. Strange fellow I be hearin'."
"Unique," Jelvis Grinch corrected.
"Ye'er seen him about?"
asked Brunner, who had come into Neverwinter early in the year of 1483, utilizing the same alias he had in his previous visit to the region. When he and Drizzt had come this way in search of Gontalgrim decades earlier, Brunner had traveled under the same name, Bonnigo Battleaxe, as now, except that now he was claiming to be the progeny. Bonnigo, son of Bonnigo.
"Drizzt?" Jelvis Grinch asked. "No, no. And there's been word that he's no more to be found anywhere."
"What do ye know?"
Brunner asked past the lump in his throat.
"No one has heard from Drizzt in many years, so it is told," said Jelvis Grinch. "Though many have searched for him. Strange characters," he added with a chuckle. "Another drow elf. I don't remember his name, but quite the extraordinary figure. That one seemed quite anxious to find him, as I recall."
"Eyepatch?" Brunner asked.
Jelvis Grinch looked at him curiously for a moment.
"Yes."
"Jarlaxle," said Brunner.
"Me da's telled me much of that one. Strange dogs, them drow, and ye never can trust them." "Not true of Drizzt," Jelvis Grinch was quick to reply. "By all accounts, there have been none of any race with a greater claim of loyalty."
Brunner couldn't help but wince, stung by the reminder. Stung and shamed, given his present course and intentions.
"Here's hoping that one's still about," Brunner replied.
He took his 10-day pay from Jelvis Grinch and dropped the coins into a belt pouch. He gave the pouch a lift, feeling its heft, and nodded as he walked away, confident that he had sufficient funds now to close the deal. The city of Neverwinter had still not fully recovered from the devastation of the volcanic eruption 4 decades previous. The area down near the river and the winged Wyvern Bridge had been rebuilt and was thriving. But beyond the new walls there remained many ruins of the old city. Every night, lights would be spotted out there among the ruins as honest travelers and rogues alike took refuge in the unclaimed skeletons of houses long dead. And every night, Brunner was up on the wall, spying out those ruins, looking to one building in particular for signs of inhabitation. The night before, he had seen firelight in the empty window. And so it was again this night, the appointed night. The dwarf went out from the wall, making his way through the desolate boulevards and past the black and empty portals. He knew that many eyes were upon him, from vermin to highwayman to innocent traveler and more. But he was known as a formal mercenary tied to the Neverwinter garrison, and he carried an axe over his shoulder with practiced ease. Indeed, the frustrated and angry dwarf would almost welcome an ambush. He made his way to the appointed building, paused before the broken doorway, and gave three sharp whistles. He didn't even wait for the appropriate response, which came as he crossed the threshold into the place. Down the corridor and through a makeshift door, he found his associates. A pair of men, halfling and human, and an elf lass.
"Ah, but there's young Bonico with our coin," said the human.
Deventry, a thin man with a sharp face and a full beard marked by several angry scars.
"Mayhaps we'll be sleeping in a proper inn this night."
"Waste of coin," said Vestra the elf.
She wore a green hooded cloak, much like the one Drizzt used to wear, Brunner recalled. Her long blonde hair was gathered in the hood, all in a tangle, and her delicate features showed the dirt of the road. But still, she was a pretty thing, Brunner thought, at least for those who considered the lithe elves attractive.
"My back aches," Deventry argued. "One night in a bed, I say."
"Sharing the sheets with lice, no doubt,"
Vestra replied with a chortle. Deventry waved her to silence.
20 pieces of gold, then," he said to Brunner. "When I see the map, ye'll be seeing the gold."
Deventry smiled and nodded to the third of the group, the halfling they called Whisper, so named because, as far as Brunner could tell at least, he never said a word. Whisper produced a scroll tube, while Deventry brushed aside the plates and remains of their recent meal, clearing a spot between the three.
"There's your map as ordered,"
Deventry said, helping Whisper unroll it. Brunner bent low, but the man leaned over to block his view.
"Thinking to put it in your mind for free, are you?"
Deventry scolded.
"We spent half the summer building it, and on good faith." "Good faith and 20 pieces of gold already," Brunner reminded. "And no, don't ye fear, I ain't for putting the whole of it in me head. Now move aside, for there's one or two things that'll tell me the truth of it, and when I see them where they should